On that tragic Tuesday of September 11th, 2001, a New York City parish priest was standing on the corner of 14th Street and 1st Avenue when the first terrorist plane plunged into the Twin Towers. He said, "I watched it and I couldn't begin to grasp what was happening, and I turned and walked into the church to celebrate the morning mass. Normally, there's about 100 people at this mass, but today there were several hundred people who rushed into the church. And the gospel reading that day was this beatitude: blessed are those who weep now, for they will laugh. But woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep." And he said, even then, I began to wonder, how in the world could these words of Jesus be true in light of such a horrific tragedy? Questioning our values. That's what we've been trying to do these Lenten Sundays together. And today we approach the question of laughing and weeping. Blessed are you who weep now, for you laugh. Woe to you who laugh now, for you mourn and weep. What could Jesus have meant by that? I'd like to suggest four things there in your bulletin in the sermon notes if you wish to follow there. But four things that come right out of this beatitude, and I hope to be helpful to you today. The first point I want to make is this: trouble happens. It rains on the just and the unjust. Pain is no respecter of persons. Never morning wears to evening, but some heart breaks, a heart just as sensitive as yours or mine. That is life. And you who want to ignore it, the fact, with shallow laughter, or bury your heads in the sands of some spring break beach, or immerse yourself in the brackets of basketball frenzy, beware and be warned. For sudden as a plane soaring out of the skies, our happy-go-lucky, laughter-filled lives can turn to weeping and mourning and gnashing of teeth. That's life. I'm not trying to be morbid today. I'm just telling you that after 40 years of ministry, I've walked through too many lush green cemeteries, and I've treaded the corridors of too many hospitals to make visits, and I've sat and listened to families torn apart by strife and stress, and I've walked through the dark valleys of my own soul enough to know that this is the truth. Life is not a bed of roses for anyone, anywhere, anytime. That is life. A couple of weeks ago, I gave the invocation for the Brentwood Cool Springs Chamber of Commerce down at Marriott Hotel. And there was a great group of people gathered there because the Franklin mayor was ready to give the State of the City speech. And so the politicians and all the business people were present and packed into that room. But the leaders of the chamber, before he gave his speech, paused to remember a young man, a soldier in Iraq from this county who had lost his life. And as that assembly of people stood for an extended somber applause, I happened to be standing next to his mother and daddy. And I stared a long time and deep into their eyes. People sat down, the speech went on. Everybody went their way, but I need to tell you, I can't get that mother and daddy's faces out of my mind. They just stuck there. I'm not smart enough to know the politics of war, but I'm human enough to question how we can go our merry ways and live our normal lives and make our pleasant living while over 3,000 young men and women have been killed in combat and another 23,000 seriously wounded, and add to that another 500,000 innocent civilians, including women and children who've died in the crossfires of this fighting. And the least we could do, it seems to me, is to get off our high horses of politics and onto our knees before Almighty God and pray for mercy and peace. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Trouble happens. Sometimes it's a result of our own doing, but trouble happens. The second thing I want us to consider today is that crying helps. Blessed are you who weep now. Oh, the bliss of you who weep now. Oh, how close to God are you who weep now. From a physical point of view, tears are essential to health. If our tear ducts dry up, we're in big trouble. Tears keep our eyes moist and clear of dust. Tears also contain the substances that fight against infection. And when a foreign substance invades an eye, tears come to the rescue. Thank God for tears. But tears are good for the soul, too. They help us rejoice. Sometimes you cry out of laughter. And they help us grieve. Blessed are those who weep. And people who never cry have let their hearts turn to concrete. And they are most of all people to be pitied. Jacob wept. Joseph wept. David wept. Hannah wept. Mary wept. And the shortest verse in all the Bible says, Jesus wept. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. He's called the weeping prophet, among other reasons, because of a verse in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1. Oh, if my head were a spring of tears, I would cry day and night for my people. I'll never forget big football star Rosie Greer's little song back in the 70s. Some of you old enough to remember that. He and Marlo Thomas did a little piece called Free to Be, You and Me. And big old Rosie Greer sings a little song on that album. It goes like this. It's all right to cry. Crying lets the sad out of you. Raindrops from your eyes, letting all the mad out of you. It's all right to cry. It might make you feel better. So our aim in life need not to be always to hold it in or to turn it off or to shove it down. For the writer of Ecclesiastes had it exactly right when he said, for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose. Under heaven there is a time to weep and a time to laugh and a time to mourn and a time to dance. Cry. Trouble happens. Crying helps. Comfort comes. You cannot consider Luke's version of the Beatitudes without comparing them with Matthew's version of the Beatitudes. They're close, but a little different. Matthew says of this Beatitude, blessed are you who mourn, for you shall be comforted. Not might be, not could be, not wish you would be. You shall be comforted. A promise. Now that word comfort is a mighty word. It means to fortify, to strengthen, to hold up. for others to come to your aid. The house we own is on a hillside of Brentwood. It has a deck in the back that is held up by long, long support posts. A friend of mine came over to see the house shortly after we bought it and said Howard must have bought that house in the middle of the night. Nobody in their right mind would buy it in the daytime. Of course, he's right, you know. But my point is this. Those long, long posts support and fortify the deck. And it is correct for me to say, from a biblical point of view, that those supporting posts comfort my deck. Do you get the picture? That's what comfort means in the scripture. It's not pity. It's not control. Comfort is Aaron and her holding up Moses' hands in the battle when he's too weak to hold them up himself. Blessed are you who mourn now. Why? Because you will be comforted. You will be comforted. God often uses people like you to comfort others in their sorrows. You are God's comforters. That's your mission. Somebody, I assume it was a kid because of the nature of the writing, in one of these services, one of these four services we hold every weekend, wrote on the back of an offering envelope 3 or 4 months ago a little prayer that goes like this. Dear God, I will give one day of my life for Dr. Oles to be healed of cancer. Now, my friends, that's comfort. That's comfort. Sandy and I were up at a little place up in Kentucky Monday and Tuesday working out in the yard in beautiful weather. I'm not a very good neighbor anywhere, and I'm especially not a very good neighbor up there because, I, just to be honest, I don't want to see anybody when I'm up there. But we were working out in the yard and our neighbors came by, just live across the street from us. I didn't know he was still alive. You see, he's got Lou Gehrig's disease. He was laying in a golf cart that they cut the top off of. And he was on an air mattress, and his wife, because it was a bright, sunshiny day, was taking him out for a little ride. But they stopped at our house. And he tried to raise his hand. You who are familiar with Lou Gehrig's disease know that it just takes every movement of your body. And I reached down and took it in my hand, and he said to me, Howard, I pray for you really often. Now that's comfort, folks. That's comfort. There's no caring like the caring of another who knows the depths of the valley too. Sometimes God just gets direct in his comfort, doesn't he? Just does it on his own. You remember that scene of Jesus and his disciples in the upper room? And they're all fretting and worrying because Jesus is telling them goodbye. And Then he says to him, "It's good for you that I go away, for unless I go, the Comforter cannot come. But if I go, I'll send the Comforter to you." I'll send the Comforter to you. Now, this is the truth, folks. God helps us in all of our troubles so that we may be able to help those with the same comfort and help that we have received from God in the first place. Comfort comes. Blessed are those who mourn now, for they will be comforted. Trouble happens. Crying helps. Comfort comes. One more thing. Laughter lifts. Laughter lifts. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Not you wish you could laugh, or you think you'll never laugh. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Can you claim that promise today? There was a custom in the Eastern Orthodox Church that happened on Monday after Easter. After all of the celebrations of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it was the custom of the Eastern Orthodox Church clergy and laity to get together in the sanctuary on Monday and tell jokes, tell funny stories and anecdotes, and see who could outdo the other. It wasn't a form of release from the pressure of the week. It was a celebration. It wasn't a comedy night. It was a celebration. It was a celebration of the truth that God pulled the biggest joke over Satan that the world had ever known when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You who weep now will laugh. That's our faith, isn't it? That life is stronger than death. That grace is greater than guilt. You who weep now, you're going to laugh. You're going to laugh. Bob Shuler tells a story about somebody wrote a letter. Somebody wrote to him who had listened to his television show, The Hour of Power. In part, it goes something like this. Dear Dr. Shuler, in 1961, my wife and I got married, and shortly thereafter, we had a terrible financial crisis and lost everything we had, and I became bitter. We wanted to have children, but discovered that we could not have children, and my bitterness deepened. We decided that we would adopt a child, and so it worked out, and we did adopt a child, but a few months after that, we discovered that the child was severely mentally retarded, and I became extremely bitter. But the bitterest day of my life was when we gathered in the cemetery to bury little Joy. And I walked away from that grave and I said, "I'll never believe in God again." The years passed. Time lapsed. He said, "My wife started watching your television program." He said, she'd say to me, he said, "Why won't you come in and sit down and watch us with me?" And I'd say to her, "I don't want anything to do with God, and I certainly don't want anything to do with positive thinking." But he said, "One day I overheard something that was said or sung in your service." And he said, "I stopped, and I got so I listened with her. And it didn't happen all at once. And it wasn't anything particular that you said. But over a period of time, I came again to believe in God. And I just want you to know that my wife and I have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And Dr. Schuller, I thought maybe you would also want to know that we're going to dedicate the rest of our lives to working with mentally handicapped children. Blessed are those who weep now, for they will laugh. The psalmist put it this way: weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Isn't it about time there came a sunrise in your life? Let us pray. Oh Lord, we're full of troubles. We've got heartaches. We've got burdens. And sometimes we think that that is all of life. Come to us, O Lord. O Comforter, come. Touch us. Heal us, restore us, turn our sorrows into singing. For we look to you to give us the morning, the sunrise of a meaningful life. Amen.